In terms of adjuvant treatment, we obviously have, based on the risk, many candidates. We have effective treatment, both hormonal therapy and systemic chemotherapy. And I would obviously suggest that the benefit from adjuvant treatment or from early treatment will be a lot more consequential than the benefit that we get in patients with metastatic disease. There are several questions, several different ways of addressing adjuvant treatment, neoadjuvant, concomitant chemo and radiation therapy, for instance. We prefer the postoperative setting. I think it provides for an adequate staging at this point. It allows you a good criteria for selecting those patients that are risky, to find the risks, and it facilitates in sort of a more or less quantifiable way the assessments of risk so you can design your study. You can determine your sample size, your duration of study, etc. And I would even submit that the postoperative adjuvant setting probably has better patient and physician acceptance than if you, for instance, look at it in a neoadjuvant setting. Adjuvant chemotherapy is standard in breast, colorectal cancer, and even one can argue about this being the case in lung cancer and in prostate cancer, despite the fact that we have effective treatment. We don't know that yet. SWOG 9921 is a study in which patients with high risk following radical prostatectomy are randomized to receive immediate hormonal therapy for 2 years versus immediate hormonal therapy plus 6 months of mitoxantrone and prednisone. This study started in 1999, so it was prior to the taxane era. It was considered the adjuvant chemotherapy or the chemotherapy available at that time. Study's having some trouble, but I think I'm told that maybe 900 patients have been entered. I hope they will complete. The issue does not have a no-treatment control arm, which is very difficult to do, but let's hope this study will complete. About 3 years ago, we did a pilot study, which is now being reported by Adam Kybel, and we looked at the window of radical prostatectomy to PSA relapse, and essentially was a feasibility study. Patients essentially got, if the pathology was reviewed centrally at Johns Hopkins by Jonathan Epstein, then we looked at our R sub W, a model which separates patients according to their probability of relapse. We had about 9 institutions participating on this, and this is just a pure feasibility study. This was done before TAX-327 came out. That's why we chose the weekly Taxotere data. And we found that toxicities were as expected. 76 out of 77 patients completed. And this is a study in which patients who have no more than a 60% probability of remaining disease-free at 5 years by Mike Tan's nomogram, they're randomized between initial observation or treatment. And the treatment on both the observation, which is treated at time of progression, involves 18 months of leuprolide or 18 months of leuprolide plus Taxotere. And all these patients here require a non-measurable PSA, an undetectable PSA, prior to randomization. And essentially, what this trial here tests is a hypothesis. And essentially, if we consider that early treatment could be more effective than deferred treatment because it tumor burden is smaller, then I think we can say that the immediate treatment will push. If we consider this a threshold where clinical disease is apparent, with immediate treatment, we'll be able to push the disease burden below that threshold compared to deferred treatment. And if you consider a heterogeneity in the biological behavior of prostate cancer cells with regard to hormone sensitivity, one would also expect that the arm with immediate hormonal therapy and chemotherapy could be potentially the best arm, which could more effectively push the entire disease below that threshold, where it may not come out in the future or in the period where you're observing the trial.